Too much. So this is Colossians chapter 3. Next time. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in your life, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all things such as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So, I had my notes open earlier, and Arthur was looking at them, and so he knows what's coming up next. But I'm just wondering, have you ever been in that situation where actually a mirror would have been really useful? Or if not a mirror, just a helpful friend to point something out. You know, I'm talking about, you know, maybe you've just had dinner, you know, and you've all dressed up nicely, and there's just a bit of food stuck in your teeth. You know, and everyone's kind of looking, they don't want to say anything, but just a mirror would have been really helpful to get rid of that. You ever been in that situation? Or just food stuck on your face? So you dribble it down. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? Or maybe... maybe your hair, you just come in from outside and your hair is all kind of like this. If you have hair. Obviously, some of us don't have these problems, but some of us do, you know. Or maybe you sat in some bird poo. You know, have you ever done that? Sat in bird poo, and then you just, if only somebody had told you, or you somehow got a mirror behind you, you could have sorted yourself out, you know. Or a hole in your trousers. That's happened to me. I can remember, I was not long here at church, actually, and if Emma was here today, I wonder if she'd remember this. But and when I was new and hadn't been trained how to do this, as sometimes quite nervous at the front, I suppose. And Emma, who was sitting about where Louise is, she beckoned me over and she just said, "This is." So I walked up to her and she said, "You might just want to check your trousers." So I looked down, and sure enough, I hadn't quite zipped my trousers up properly. So I turn around, saunter back over to the piano, sort myself out, and carry on as normal, you know. But that there was a helpful friend. She was being a mirror to me, just to help me sort out a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction, shall we say. And that was really helpful. Very helpful. And so, maybe we just had to carry a mirror around with us. But in this section of the letter, Paul is kind of doing this. He's holding up a mirror, and he's calling, he's showing us in the mirror our old self, and he's also then showing us our new self. He's kind of saying, do you know what you used to look like? In fact, some of you still look a little bit like this, but you shouldn't. So sort yourself out, because I want to show you what you should look like, and this is what you do look like in some ways. And he says, take off the old self, which is, and he calls it the earthly you, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. And then he uses very strong language. He says, put to death the earthly nature. He doesn't sort of just say, well, have a think about it and try your best. Put to death the earthly nature, which is a radical removal of the old, a complete cutting off. He talks about baptism, which is this immersion into the death and the resurrection of Christ. So it's putting to death the old and living in the new. He says, put to death the earthly nature and set your heart on things above, which is your new life in Christ. And Adam, if you wouldn't mind, there's a PowerPoint on the thing. So I've written out these things so you can see. They're in your Bible reading there. But he says, put off, and he describes the old self, which on the left-hand side, the things to be taken off. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, which is idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language and lying. Now, I don't know about you. If you've read any of Paul's letters, he will find he often has these lists. And I don't know about you, but you start reading the first two and you think, okay, and then you kind of glaze over because it's just, there's too much. It's almost like it's too true in a way as well. Or it's too much. So it's easy to glaze over, but I think it's important we take a serious look at this list because this is the mirror on us. And let it be a mirror on our hearts. And do we see any of ourselves in this list? And maybe you think, oh no, I'm all right with all that, but then maybe you should ask the question, if somebody else were to ask this list of you, do they see some of these? Maybe the people that live with you or that you're with a lot of the time, do they see some of this? Does any of that bring conviction to us? Because Paul says, these things here on the left, they do not belong to us anymore. And there should be an hallelujah to that, because that is good news, right? Hallelujah. It's good to be around people who aren't full of malice and raging all the time. And all that other stuff. It's good. They don't belong to us anymore, so put them off. Take them off, Paul says. Now, if you're paying attention to my messages, which I'm sure all of you are, you will have thought from last week, but Richard said last week, Christianity is not about following a set of rules. Didn't I say that last week?
Yeah.
Anyone listening to that? I said last week, it's not about following rules. It's a life study of Christ, a way of life, a new and living way. But this sounds like a difficult set of rules, doesn't it? Don't do this. Don't do this. Do this. Do this. There's a problem. Does Richard know what he's talking about? Maybe, maybe not. That can be another question for next time. Does Richard know what he's talking about? And the answer is not always. But I'd say of this list, I'd say, first of all, this isn't a definitive list. This isn't I can do all of that and then I'm fine. Because that's the problem with lists or any kind of set of rules. You think, well, I've done all that and I'm okay. I don't think this is a definitive list. I think this is just part of a list, if you like. And you could keep going. But I think what these are characteristics of a way of life. Characteristics of a way of life that we need to get put off. And they're spelled out so that we would know what they look like. And because you may not recognize some of this stuff as being that bad. You may not realize that some of that old stuff needs to be taken off. You may be so used to it in your old life that you may think, oh, I didn't realize that was a problem. And everyone else is kind of like going, oh my goodness. You may not know any different. You may not realize that these things aren't good. Or that life could. Some people don't realize that life can be any different. But in Christ, we've been delivered from that wrathful way of living into a new and living way. And so he says, set your hearts on the things above. Put on the new self, which means be renewed, it says, in knowledge, in the image. And here it comes back. We're being renewed in the image of our Creator. So get a full vision of what the new life can look like, get an idea of what the old life was, and take that off and put on the new life. So fix your attention on Christ. Just like I said last week, fix your attention on Christ, and if what you see in him, that's what you need to put on. Because we can't live beyond what we know. And what I mean by that is, if all we knew is our old way, then we will just carry on in that old way. If all you knew was pop music, you wouldn't know that there's an amazing thing called jazz music or classical music, you know. But you need to know these things. You need to know what was the old and what is the new. And as we glimpse Christ, we get a vision of the new life we're to put on, which is this stuff on the right-hand side. Put on compassion and kindness and humility and patience and bear with one another and forgive one another. And most of all, put it all together under love. That's the new way we're to put on in Christ. That's the new way. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, what you've been through. Paul says there's no privileges, basically. There's no excuses. Everyone in Christ can put off the old and put on the new. There's no ifs or buts on this. Christ, he says Christ, this is a very mysterious phrase, Christ is all and in all. Meaning, there's nobody who's excluded here. He uses a list of kind of people of the time, barbarians and Scythians. And these are just kind of categories of people of his time. But actually, there's no Nigerians. There's no English. There's no Welsh. There's no Filipinos. Christ is all in all of this. And he's in us. He's in us. No ifs and buts. Includes you and me. So take off the old and put on the new. And you may think, well, that's a big ask. That's almost an impossible ask. But how it starts is by us allowing God to transform us in our hearts, opening ourselves up and saying, yes, come, Lord. And rather than seeing this as a list of do's and don'ts, but look and allow God to work in us. Because have a look at what I was just looking at what lies beneath all these things that we're to put on and off. If you look at what Paul's talking about, to take off sexual immorality and lust and anger and slander and all that stuff, and to put on compassion and patience and forgiveness and all that stuff. These are the things, all of those things involve us and how we interact with the people around us, the community around us. You can't do kindness and compassion and bearing with one another and forgiving one another if you're on your own. If you're sat on a pole somewhere in the middle of a forest, it's quite difficult to be forgiving because there's no one to forgive. As soon as you bump into somebody else, literally, if they bump into you, then you've got to start forgiving, haven't you? These things only work in community, yeah? And likewise, you can't be lustful and a slanderer and lie about people without people to lust over and to slander and to lie to. But as soon as you're around people, then those things become temptations or problems. Agreed? It's really easy to be pure on your own, just sat on a pole somewhere. I don't know if anyone's tried sitting on a pole.
I was going to say, well, how do you sit on a pole?
I don't really know. Okay. I just know that sometimes there's people that sit on, like, platform. Anyway. I digress. Maybe wrap around the pole. Yeah.
There's a ledge on top.
I think there is a ledge on top. Yeah.
Just have a picture.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. It's troubling me. We're troubled together, and there we're four in community. Then we have to work this out. Yeah. Exactly. All of this happens in an ongoing relationship, an interaction with the community around us, and not just the church. By the way, sometimes that's easier. Sometimes it's more difficult in the church. But it also applies to the world around us. And if you consider what we're to put on, this new Christ-like self, if you look at them, they involve an open-heartedness towards people. So I'm summarizing now, because then we kind of boil it down to beyond the list. They involve mercy towards other people. They involve preferring other people before yourself. They involve grace and love towards others. And if you consider all the things on the other side of the list, the things we're to put off, the old earthly self, they involve things which really is a hardness towards people, a bitterness and a judgment and a vengeance towards people. They see other people as enemies or people that we are to use for our own needs. And they describe this kind of closed-heartedness, I'd say a closed-heartedness towards others. So you could really summarize these two lists and say, put off bitterness and hard-heartedness, that's the old self, and put on open-heartedness and love, which is the new you. It's the new you. And in even shorter summary, I'd say put off hatred and put on love. Now, wasn't there somebody who said, love God and love your neighbor? Do you remember somebody said that? Was it like Jesus or something? Yeah, he kind of like summarized the whole law. And here we go. They said, well, what's the greatest commandment? Basically, Jesus summarized the whole of the scriptures by saying, love God, love everybody else as yourself. Job done. And if you want a list, okay, Paul gives you a list. What that looks like. But that's not it's not the whole thing. There's more to it than that. But actually, behind all of this, I'd say, is love or actually hatred. So put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. And then start to imagine, what would life be like if people lived in this glorious gospel? If people actually put off the earthly self and put on the Christ-like new self. I hope you've experienced that in some way. I hope you've, I've seen others and hopefully it's at work in me. And that's what you always kind of like, I wish I just had a proper mirror on this. I hope it's happening in me. But I do see it in people around me. I know for certain that lives have changed. The old self was put off, new self being put on. But imagine if whole families and whole communities, even whole countries, were transformed by this gospel. What, in the words of the song, what a wonderful world it would be. But we need to get a vision of it. Because otherwise, all we'll do is live in the old self. And I think sometimes it takes Paul to remind us of these things, that we get that mirror on our face. Oh, I realise I've got bird poo in my hair or whatever. I didn't know that. I'd forgotten that anger issue. I just kind of gloss over that because it's halfway down the list. So I thought I was doing it. But these just are pointing out the things that we have to take off and the things we need to put on. Yeah, it's a great gospel. It's a great way of life. It's not easy. It's not easy. Take up your cross, Jesus said. That's not an easy thing to do. But if we do, I want to tell you, particularly young ones, I want to tell you it is one of my slogans. Life works with Jesus. Life does work with Jesus. It's a good way. Let's pray, and then Kate is going to lead us in communion. Lord, we thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you that your way, Jesus, your way of love is good for us. It's good for the people around us. It's good for the world. But it's not an easy way, and we realize as we're in a community with other people, it's not always easy. And so we pray, Lord, have mercy on us. Give us the grace that we need to put off the old and to put on the new. Lord, and I pray, renew our minds, transform our lives in your image. Let us see you, Christ Jesus, and let us know what it is to put you on and to live in you, Christ who is all and in all. Lord, and I dare to pray that us as a church will be a community of people that shine gloriously in your glory of a new way, that we may be lights to this world around us to show that there is a different way of life, a life in Christ, which is glorious and good news. Lord, have mercy on us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.